Good morning, everyone. Let me adjust this. I'm kind of up higher. Sounds loud to me. I'm sort of loudmouth out of the box, if you know what I'm saying. So, would like to welcome each of you here today. I am filling in for Brother Barry, so let's continue to be in prayer for him, Miss Frances, and the family. And it is an honor to fill in. Some of the ushers back there in the back said they were going to leave the doors open. So if you want to leave and get out of here since I'm teaching, they said there would be a clear path to the exit. So I hope that won't be the case. It is a blessing to be here this morning. It is a blessing to be in Benson Grove. It has been very special and it's always been very special. So let me phrase, I have a bad problem with phrasing things, not exactly the way I mean them. It has been extra special since the first of the year. The services, God's touch, and I'm sure each and every one of y'all have felt that. I know I have. So it is a blessing. And thanks to God, thanks to Pastor Billy, who has the vision, who is listening to God and following His will, and we thank Him for that. I prepared this lesson, let's say about a month or so ago, okay? And what I would do is I keep it, because Brother Barry, he never really knows when he may have to miss. So the first part of this got a little dated, okay? But stick with me here, okay? And as y'all know, this is kind of, it's my thing. It's a little different. But I think about stuff during the week. And I like to start the lesson off with those thoughts. Riding down the road, just thinking about what I'm hearing and how it relates to my walk and what I should be doing. And it kind of revolved around New Year's resolution. So we're pretty much at almost the end of February, okay? And I think the statistics were after about 2 weeks, everybody gives up on New Year's resolutions, okay? So I won't ask everybody how they've done, but you know, I had my own, right? I wanted to read through the Bible. I think, Pastor, you may have mentioned that before the end of the year. I will tell you, I'm in Numbers, and that is not on schedule. I should be farther than that, okay? But I wanted to read through the Bible. Improve personal relationships. Improve my relationship with Christ and how I honor Him. Obviously, there's, you know, financial goals. Save some money, take a trip, pay something off, whatever, right? So we all set those goals. Don't laugh. I'm going to mention a personal goal I got set this year, too. I want to be able to do 60 push-ups in one time without taking a break. Okay? It's just a personal goal, right? I'm not going to tell you whether I get there or not, but I'm working on it, okay? So my mind's there, my shoulders are not, okay? But we all have those goals. But I heard it was a podcast, and in this podcast, a gentleman was talking about witnessing. And that really hit home for me. And I'll be honest with you, how little of that I do, okay? I won't read the verses, but in Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14, we know those verses, right? Where Paul, and I'm going to summarize here, where basically he says, you know, I haven't reached where I'm going yet, but I am going to put all those things behind me, those bad things I've done, and I'm going to press toward the high mark, the high calling of God. Okay? That was Philippians 3, 13 through 14, if you want to look it up. And those verses are often used at when the new year comes about. Okay? So I got to thinking about it. What are some reasons? And I got to be careful because I say, why we don't witness. Let me just say me. I don't want to speak for anybody up here, okay? Why do I not witness? Number one, I don't feel like I can sometimes. I don't feel like I'm worthy. Paul didn't think he was worthy either. He had to put those things behind him. I don't know about each one of you, but that's one of the biggest issues I have, is forgetting those things, what I've done. If God's forgotten, why am I still thinking about them? Okay? But still, human nature, I'm like, well, how am I going to go talk to that guy? Because I remember how I acted 32 years ago. I remember that. I'm thinking, does he know that? Doesn't that sound hypocritical if I'm going to go up there and talk to him or her or whatever? But you got to put those things behind you. God's put them behind him. He has blotted them out. So one thing is, we don't feel worthy to witness. You know, I've heard, I think the saying is, we should preach all the time and use words when we need to. Okay? And I do believe in that, because what you're doing is you're witnessing with your actions. It's as much what you do as what you don't do, or what we don't do, that witnesses to others. Okay? But I will tell you, I don't think that's enough. I don't think that's quite enough. I don't think you can stop there. So to me, what is the biggest holdback for me? And what is that reason why I do not witness and spread the word? I'll tell you, it's pure and simple. It's that right there. Don't read it enough. I don't read it enough. If you read that on a regular basis, you're going to have to share it. Because I know that's how I feel when I'm really in the Word like I should be. So, yeah, there's things holding us back. But I think it's us studying gives us the confidence to talk about Him to others. Right? What is it? Know what you say and say what you know? Okay? Well, if I don't know this, how am I going to talk to somebody else about it? You know, we have a responsibility. 2 Timothy, forgive me here, 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word. That's 2 Timothy 2:15. He's told us. Study the Word so you don't have to be ashamed when that hour comes, when it's time to witness to others. So to me, it all boils down to this. The act of witnessing is not, whether you're saved or not, it's an obedience thing. And so again, going back to my initial conversation, as the year turns, as we try to get better, we try to do things, witnessing was one of those things, is I need to be an example. I need to spread His Word. And we need to study, be knowledgeable, and be bold. Right? That's what we need to be. That is the key to witnessing. So anyway, so remember, that's just my thoughts. That's the introductory. We ain't got into the lesson yet, okay? What I've been talking about in the times that I fill in, we've been talking about the miracles of Jesus, okay? So now we're down to a good one. There's going to be a ton of reading today, okay? And I'm going to try to get through this, but I had thought, well, you know, I'll just skip around and read certain verses, but I don't want to do that, okay? But here's what we're talking about today. We're talking about when Jesus raised the dead during His earthly ministry. Raised people from the dead. Be thinking about that, because we're going to have a little pop quiz here in just a second, and we're going to see who can answer these questions. Matthew chapter 11, verse 5. Matthew 11, verse 5. Now, what's going on right here is John has sent some disciples to Jesus, and those disciples are asking Jesus, hey, are you the one? Are you Christ? Are you the one that's come here? Are you the Messiah? Or should we be looking for somebody else? Okay, that's their question. Okay, I'm going to back up to verse 4, 11:4. Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached unto them. So what we're looking at today is the dead are raised. Okay? Now, as we read through these stories, they're miracles, there's symbolism of what is getting ready to happen in the Gospels with Jesus being crucified and raised again. And then there's also end time symbolism, if you will, also in these stories. Okay? And it all connects. It all pertains. All right, here's pop quiz. Ton of people out here with Bible knowledge. Most of you should probably be up here, not me. But now's your time to shine, okay? And I've come up with five, okay, instances where Jesus raised the dead, okay? And one of them's tricky, okay? One of them's real tricky. One or two of them we should get. So what you got? Lazarus, okay, that was the one I was thinking. All right, so we all know that story. We're going to read through that in a second. All right, we got one. The boy, the widow's son. Okay, that's number two, the widow's son. We got three to go. What's that? That's correct. Jairus, the daughter of Jairus, the leader of the synagogue. Number three. All right, the fourth one's a trick because it is the easiest one. The resurrection, right? So that's four. Has anybody got a clue on number five? Because if I'm not mistaken, it only appears in one of the Gospels. Well, we're talking about Jesus. I'm not, because you're right. In Acts, I think Peter did raise.
But that was through Christ, or through the Holy Ghost.
That's right. So I'm looking more when Jesus was on this earth and kind of directly related to him.
The resurrection.
Well, I got that. But we can talk about that separately. But that is a resurrection. Okay. We'll come to number five. Do you know which one I'm getting at? We got that one. Anyway, all right, so we'll get to it. Okay, it's been interesting. All right, let's get into the stories. But remember, there's a lot of symbolism in this. The first story we're going to look at is Lazarus. This happened basically right before, it was the last major miracle Jesus performed before he was crucified, okay? So the symbolism in this absolutely screams off the page, okay? When you really look at the details and how it parallels, okay? All right, so if you would turn to John chapter 11. All right, so we're going to read the entire story here, okay? John chapter 11, verse 1. And what I want to do is I want to pause at certain points and kind of break this down, okay? John chapter 11, verse 1. Now, a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore, his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Let's stop in verse 4. The story had already been written in heaven. It had already been written. Jesus already knew how this thing was going to play out. And he said, hey, this sickness of my friend, of Lazarus, somebody that he loved, it's all part of, it, it's all going to work together to glorify Christ. The story's already written. The ending is already written. Pick up in verse 5. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days in the same place where he was. Then after that, saith to his disciples, let's go into Judea again. His disciples saying to him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and thou goest thither again? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things said he, and after that he said unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Now listen to these next few verses. Then said the disciples, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit, Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest and sleep. Then Jesus said unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. Can you imagine how that conversation went down? And to even to back up, is Jesus in a hurry to get to Lazarus? He's not. He's taking his time, man. He knows what this is all about, and he knows how this is going to turn out. It's all a part of the plan. And he tells the disciples, hey, Lazarus is sleeping. They're like, well, that's good. Lazarus is resting. That's good for him. And Jesus is like, no, he's dead. He's not sleeping. He's dead. Because they didn't understand. Let's pick back up at verse 15. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. So we're talking about 2 miles away. Jesus is dragging his feet. He's dragging his feet, and it's on purpose. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been there, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask, God will give it thou. Jesus saying to her, thy brother shall rise again. Now, listen to this. Martha misunderstands. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, the Master is come and calleth for thee. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in the place where Martha met him. The Jews then, which were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, she goeth into the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, and fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, where have ye laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Verse 35, Jesus wept. Now, if you were a kid and you were in Awana's or Bible school or whatever, you always wanted that verse as your memory verse, right? You know I'm telling the truth, you know? Like, man, I hope I get that one this week. I can remember that. Okay? Maybe, you know, I don't think it was just me. But I do want to point out, so Lazarus dies. okay? Or he's sick. Jesus knows he's sick. He does not rush to get there. People are coming to him. Hey, come heal our brother, our friend. Okay? He doesn't go. Martha and Mary go and meet him out there, and they're like, Master, if you would have been here, he wouldn't have died. And Jesus basically says, I've got this. It's what he's telling them, okay? He's telling them, I've got this. Does anybody know the Hebrew meaning of the name Lazarus? God helped. God helped, okay? But as we're reading through here, and we get to this verse, help me understand this. Jesus wept, but he knew he was going to raise him. Explain that. It's kind of hard to explain other than this. Jesus had emotions. I think he wept for the family. I think that's what he was doing. So what it proves is Jesus has compassion on where we're at today. I mean, he even knew the answer. He was like, y'all get over it. It's all going to be okay. But he didn't do that. Another thing, too, is Lazarus was his friend. He was upset. And I've heard it often at funerals or around that time. People are like, well, you shouldn't weep. You shouldn't. We should celebrate, okay? Because that person, if they're saved, is going to heaven. Now, I don't disagree with that at all. But what we weep about is separation. It's not where they're going. We're happy about that. We know what's going on. We know the end of the story, but you can't be around them every day. That's the sadness. So anybody that says, hey, you shouldn't cry, Jesus wept. So I don't know. I mean, if you know something better than he does, but he was upset about it. Let's keep going because time's going to get away from us here. 36, verse 36, then said the Jews, behold how he loved him. And some of them said, could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus therefore, again, groaning himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Symbolism, y'all catching this? It's a cave with a stone in front of it. 39, Jesus said, take ye away the stone, Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for it has been 4 days. Another something important to point out here. In the Jewish culture, you were truly dead after 3 days. This is day 4. He's going to leave no doubt what's going on and what he's about to do here, okay? There is no doubt at all what he's doing. Jesus saying to her, said I unto thee, that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Stop right there. I think it's important he said Lazarus, because if he hadn't had said Lazarus and said come forth, you'd have had, I don't know how many people you'd have had coming up. Okay? Because his voice can do that. Okay? And his command, so he had to be specific, Lazarus, come forth. Verse 44, and he that was dead came forth bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saying unto them, loose him and let him go. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. All right, so that's number one, okay? That's the number one example. And that's a lot of verses, and these other stories are not near as many verses, but I felt like it was important that we read through that. Even though that is a story that we're all familiar with. Okay? So number one, Lazarus. Let's turn to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. Oh, and this is, look, this is good. I was still unpacking this one this morning because I was finding new stuff that I thought was cool, okay? Luke chapter 8, verses 40 through 42, okay? I'm going to read that because there's a gap in this story right here. And it came to pass that when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house. For he had only one daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay dying. But as he went, the people thronged him. So I'm going to stop right there. A couple of interesting things. The ruler of the synagogue. Does anybody know, because I couldn't find it, does anything else appear about him in the Bible other than this story right here? I'm going to tell you, I didn't really see anything, okay? And maybe I overlooked it. The ruler of the synagogue goes to Jesus for healing. He was really going against the culture of the time, was he not? So he was going out on a limb. Okay, gentlemen, if you got a daughter, what would you do? I'd do anything, boys. I'm telling you, okay? I mean, whatever it takes. And my daughter's 24 right now, but wherever, I'm there, okay? So that leader of that synagogue, it's kind of hard to figure out, did he believe in Jesus? Was Jesus the last hope? And he had to put his faith in him? I do know this. As we read later in the story, he did have faith because the little girl was healed, okay? So there was faith. And if you look at the miracles of Jesus, faith is always a requirement to be healed. Couple interesting things that I want to get to before I read these last verses. The story that interrupts this, because we're going to pick back up on this story in verse 49. The verses that interrupt this are about the lady with the blood issue that touches the hem of the garment and is healed. Okay, we all know that story. How long had she had the issue? 12 years. How old was the little girl? 12 years old. I don't know what that means, but I find it very interesting. I wonder if it does mean anything. Look at this too, the other angle to look at. The woman on the street, where was she at in society? Leader of the synagogue, where was he at in society? Sun shines on all of us. God is concerned with all of us. From the bottom to the top. I think it's a verse in Job 34:19, I think. And it talks about that. And it said, we're all God's creation. He doesn't favor the rich versus the poor. We're all equal in His eyes. So I think there's a lot of good lessons in this part right here. In fact, I feel like I could teach a whole lesson on that. But moving on, let's stay on topic. Verse 49. And we're in Luke 8, verse 49. While he yet spake there... Hold on a second. I'm getting off here. Okay, no, I'm right. 49. While he yet spake, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, thy daughter is dead. Trouble not the master. But when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole. So... believe, faith is required. And when he came into the house, he suffered no man to go in save Peter and James and John and the father and mother of the maiden. And all wept and bewailed her. But he said, weep not, she is not dead, but sleepeth.
And they laughed him to scorn because that she knew that she was dead. And he put them all out and took her by the hand and called, saying, "Maid, arise." Let's stop there real quick. He goes, so somebody comes from the synagogue, I mean from the ruler's house, and says, "Look, your daughter's dead, forget it." Jesus is like, "It's not over. Have faith and I'm coming." Okay? Jesus comes into the house. The people that are at the house, whether it be family, neighbors, whatever, there's no reason to come in. The girl's dead. Jesus is like, "No, she's just sleeping." They laugh at him. They ridicule him. "Man, she's dead. What are you doing here?" But then it says he put them all out of the house. You know how I like to think he put them out of the house? By the nape of the neck, by the ear. "Get out of the house. Get out of the house. You have no faith. Get out of here." You know? Now, I don't know how he did it. But kind of, I like to think of it like that. You know? I mean, I just do. But he told them to get out of the house. Verse 54, he said, "Maid, arise." Again, he addresses that girl directly for the same reason he used Lazarus' name. "Maid, arise. Little girl, arise." And her spirit came again, and she arose straightway and commanded to give her meat. And her parents were astonished, but he charged them that they should tell no man what was done. God is worried about the details, okay? He's actually worried about the details. He raised her from the dead, and what is the first thing he says? "Get the girl something to eat. She's been sick for a while." He's worried about the smallest details in our life. Because I'll be honest with you, if I hadn't eaten in a while, I'm worried about it too, okay? But he is worried about it. He's worried about it. So that's number two, okay? Ooh, we got to hurry, but we're going to get there. We're going to get there. Luke, we're right where we need to be. Luke chapter 7, verses 11 through 17. Okay, this is number three. This is the widow's son. Luke 7, starting at 11. "And it came to pass the day after, and he went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him, and much people. Now when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And much people of the city was with her." So Jesus goes into this town. He just happens to come across this funeral procession. Okay? The name of this city is Nain, N-A-I-N, which means pleasure or beauty. Okay? Again, a little symbolism here. What was this earth created as? It was created perfect, as beauty, as pleasure. And sin brought what? It brought death. Okay, so again, a lot of things to draw from this already. So Jesus stops as they're taking the young man out. One other thing, this is the lady's only son, and she's already a widow. Okay, so just kind of keep that in mind as we're going through these verses. "And when the Lord," I'll just pick up at 13, "and when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said to her, 'Weep not.' And he came and touched the bier." I had to look that up, see how to pronounce it, but that means coffin. Okay, he came out and touched the coffin. "And they that bare him stood still, and he said, 'Young man,'" again, he talks to him directly, "'I say unto thee, arise.' And he that was dead sat up and began to speak, and he delivered him to his mother." Wonder what that boy said. I think he knew what had just happened. What do y'all think? I think he did. I think he understood what had just happened. Again, Jesus had compassion. This was a mother who had already lost her, a lady that already lost her husband, and a mother that had lost her only son. And Jesus just happens by it, and he raises him from the dead.
All right, so that's number three. Story number four. Let's go to Mark chapter 16. And this is the story of the resurrection. I'm going to read Mark 16, verses 1 through 6. I told you there was a ton of reading today. And when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome had bought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came into the sepulcher at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, "Who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulcher?" And when they looked, they saw that stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulcher, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. And he saith unto them, "Be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him." Okay? So that's our other story. We know that story. And yes, did Jesus raise himself? Did God raise him? Okay, that's a bigger study. The point is, it revolves around the life of Jesus. Okay? Are y'all ready for the last one? Nobody's figured it out. Let's go to Matthew chapter 27. And I'll just go ahead and tell you, don't ask me to explain it. It is above my pay grade. Corner Pastor Billy when he gets done with the service. That's all I can tell you. Okay, Matthew chapter 27, verse 50. Jesus is crucified, okay? The veil is split, okay? Y'all remember that. Top to bottom is split. And I'm pretty sure this is the only gospel this appears in. Okay? But let's read through this. Matthew 27, starting at verse 50. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. All right, now Jesus cries, and then all this starts happening. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain. The veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. 52, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Now when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, "Truly, this was the Son of God." Look commentary up on those verses. You won't find a whole lot. But it's interesting to think about, because this is what I'll tell you. I don't understand that, but I believe this book from cover to cover, okay? Faith has got to be in there somewhere, right? If we understood everything, the workings of Jesus and everything that ever happened, why would we need faith? That would be knowledge. But there is that bit of faith. What saints were risen? Were they saints of the like that were alive during the earthly ministry of Jesus? Were they saints of old? How did they recognize them? How long did they speak? Where did they go? And ladies and gentlemen, I have no answers. I have none. But I felt like I should include that because from Jesus' words, him crying out, that's what happened. It took a little studying to dig that nugget out right there. But I felt like that was a good one. All right, we got 2 minutes, and I want to wrap this up, okay? Three things we learned from today about these stories. A, they were precursors and examples of the death of Jesus. Crucified, in the grave, risen again. Remember, the stone
in front of Lazarus' grave. Number two, Jesus, God has the ultimate power over death. If you got the power over life and death, tell me what you cannot do. Everything else pales in comparison based on what we know as humans, okay, and what we know here. The last thing, I want to read two verses to go with this and then we'll be done. How many people, and I'm just going back to the beginning of time, Adam and Eve, right? How many people are going to be raised from the dead? Everybody. Well, it was just the Christians, right? Exactly. No, everybody. Everybody. All right, we got to hurry or everybody's going to be mad with me, but I want to finish this. John chapter 5. I'm going to read these verses and a couple more and we'll be done. John chapter 5, starting at verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death into life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given it to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice. And that's what we were talking about. Everybody, okay? And shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. I'll read this last verse and we'll summarize it and be done. 1 Thessalonians 4:16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with a voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. All right. Everybody's going to be raised from the dead. We're rolling out of here first, okay? And that's the good news, okay? But everybody will be raised from the dead. Thank you for being here this morning. Amen. I hope you gathered something from this study. I'm going to pray and we're going to get out of here. Lord, thank you for all the many blessings you've given us, Lord. Bless the services ahead. Bless this church, Benson Grove, Lord. And we would ask that you would help all those that partake in the service and just bless this day. In your name we pray, amen.